We are Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Let's see. Right in the middle of the daf, there are two dots. Tana Rabbanan. Haviyu lefon of Shem and Vahodos. The premise of the Brisa is, when you say a bracha on something, you should hold it in your right hand. The assumption is that everybody's a righty. Some is a lefty, you hold it in your left hand. I'll be pashtas. So the question is, he wants to have bracha on two different things, one on the Shem and one on the Hados. He's going to smell it. So what bracha do you say on the Hados? So we said before, Bari Atzei V'Samim. What bracha do you say on the Shem? Bari Shem and Artzeinu. Okay? So he's going to say two different brachas. So which bracha comes first? The one he can't, apparently can't hold both in the same hand. So the question is, which one should he, with the one that he's going to say the bracha on first, that's the one that he should hold in the right hand. So which one should he say the bracha? So b'shamayam mevorach al Hashem and first, v'achakach mevorach al Hados. Oh, the right hand, that's going to be the next price. Okay, that's going to be the next price. The one you say the bracha on first, one you say the bracha on, you hold in your right hand, and if you're going to say two brachas, then the next price says you hold the one you say the bracha on first in the right hand. So b'shamayam says you say the bracha on the Shem and first and the Hod the second. I think that Beishamai is right. Okay, that's a right. And the Achriya, usually Achriya means a pshara, some kind of a compromise. Here it's not a pshara. He just says, I vote like Beishamai. And the Achriya, Shemen has a double function. The chinul l'recha is a chinul l'sichosai. You can smell it, has a pleasant rech, you say broch, and then use it for shmiring on the body. Or is only rech, is a chinul l'sichosai, no sachinu. So therefore, he thinks that Bishama is right, that the bracha on the Shemen should precede the bracha on the Hadas. Should we paskin like him? Yes, we should paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. It's an unusual case that we paskin like Bishama. Ruba, the Ruba of the cases, we paskin like Bishilo. Tosis writes in the beginning of Sukkah that there are six cases where we paskin like Bishama. And here's another case. That he passes like Beishamai. So Gemara tells the story of Papa Ikla the Bei Rav Huna Bei the Ravika. He was visiting someone else. I said, "Kama Shemit Vahados." So they gave him both. Which one should he say the bracha on first? Shakar Papa Baruch Hahados Bereisha. Vahada Baruch Hashemit. He followed Beisilo. Amale. So the host, Rav Huna Bei the Ravika, asks the guest, Rav Papa, but Rabbi Gamliel says we should paskan like Beishamai, and Rabbi Yechanan says we should follow Rabbi Gamliel. Amalei l'sav l'mar halachik debra machria. Rabbi Yechanan said we paskan like Beishamai. Amalei, so our puppy answers back, no, I have a tradition that we paskan like Beisil. Achim amar Rabbi halachik Beisil. We should paskan like Beisil here too. We don't paskan like Beishamai. So then the line that we have in the Gemara is very surprising. Vildoihi, he told a lie. He really never heard that from Rabbi, that the din is like Beisilo, but he made a mistake and he was embarrassed. He wanted to cover up on himself, so he told a lie. Gemara says, "Veloihi, it's not really true that Rava said that." Zonu ishtabute nafshu hu diavad. So that's scandalous. How can you ever trust any rabbi who gives you any psak? Maybe he's making a mistake and is covering up. So that's why many cross out this line. something wrong over here. Very strange, Gemara. This line is strange. Okay. Islam is rich. Let's see. Tana Rabbanan Habil of name Shem and V'yayin. So which bracha do you say first? You're going to say a bracha on the Yayin Bar Piagof. You're going to say a bracha on the Shemen Bar Shemen Orev or something. Or Bar Yatzib Samim or Naman Aleph, different opinions. So which bracha do you say first? So whichever bracha you say first, that's one you should hold in your right hand. That's the premise. B'shami Yamim Oches Hashemen b'ninoi ves hayayin b'smolo. Why? Because mevorach al Hashemen first, because mevorach al hayayin. The one you're going to say that bracha on first, you should hold in the right hand. And they still disagree, and they say no. If you have a toss-up between yayin and shemen, you should say borpi agrofen first. Oches is hayayin b'mino. Say the bracha on the yayin first, ves Hashemen b'smolo. Mevorach al hayayin, because mevorach al Hashemen. Okay. Where do we have this issue? We have it by Havdalah. We're going to say, well, there's a machlokes later. The Gemara is going to have perikei l'dvarim. As long as I have machlokes, Beisham and Beisilah, what did they say to have brachas and have dolah? So Shulchan Aruch says the simen is Rashi Tevis Yavne. Yaim b'samim ner havdalah. First you're going to say bar pe'agofen, then you're going to say bar minim b'samim. So you have to hold the yayin in the right hand and the b'samim in the left hand. You want the bar minim b'samim, the bar me'oresh, also to be a bracha ala kos. Bracha ala kos, you're supposed to be holding the cup of wine in your hand. So based on the simple reading of the Gemara, it would appear you hold the yayin in the right hand, you say bar pe'agofen first, then you hold the b'samim in the left hand, you say bar minim b'samim. You shouldn't put down the yayin and hold the b'samim in the right hand, because then the b'samim won't be a bracha lakos, only a bracha lakos if you're holding the cup of wine. It doesn't say in the Gemara that you switch hands. That the Shulchan Aruch quotes that from the Rav Yoh, that you first hold the cup of wine in the right hand, say bar pe'agofen, and then you put the cup of wine in the left hand, and then you hold the b'samim in the right hand, because you're going to say the brachan and b'samim. Whatever you say the brachan, you should hold in the right hand. So in the Sefer Imrei Noam, where they have chidushim from the Gru'a and the Masechta, so they quote, the Vilna Gaon didn't think that the Rav Yoh was right. He says, the Gemara doesn't say like that. It doesn't say you switch hands in the middle. So the Pashta says that you hold the cup of wine in the right hand, you say bar pe'agofen, and you say bar minim b'samim with the b'samim in the left hand. You have no choice. You have something on your right hand. Simple reading in the Gemara is not like the Rav Yoh. Simple reading is like the Vilna Gaon said. Then what do you do? He says the bracha on the shemen, bar shemen ar, but it doesn't want to walk around with greasy fingers.
Why does b'samim need to be a bracha alakos?
You enhance the significance of the bracha by making it a bracha alakos. The same thing with Gemara says shachyonu. And yontif, strictly speaking, amra afila bashuk, you can say shachyonu even when you're walking in the street. That's what we do on the El Yom Kippur. You don't say shachyonu alakos, because you have no choice. No one's going to drink. You don't gain anything if you say bar. If you say shachyonu over a cup of wine, no one drinks the wine. Then you haven't accomplished anything. It's not a bracha lakos. Yom Kippur, no one's allowed to drink the wine. But all year long, on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Rosh Hashanah, since you can say a bracha lakos, so you enhance the significance of the shachyonu by saving it till the end of the Kiddush, and you make it into a bracha lakos. So here also, kach tikkun chacham, they wanted the bar minim b'samim with the bar me'oresh, should also be a bracha lakos. So the one who's saying the Havdalah should still continue to hold the cup of wine either in his right hand or his left hand. So Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rabbi Yoish in switch hands. Now you want to say bar minim b'samim, so you should hold the cup of wine in the left hand and hold the b'samim in the right hand. The Vilna Gaon said the simple meaning in the Gemara is not so. The one you're going to say the bracha on first, that you leave in the right hand the whole time, and the b'samim you hold in the left hand.
Rashi says we're not dealing with a kos shel bracha.
Right.
We're not actually dealing with havdalah here, so what would be the reason you have to hold both? What's the? In Stam they want to make a bracha on the b'samim.
According to Rashi, yeah. Why doesn't he just drink the wine and put it down and then say, I don't know. The simple meaning in Gemara is like Rashi. I'm not talking about havdalah. Otherwise, it would have been later in Perek Yehud Dvarim. But when they talk about havdalah. I don't know. Why does he want to hold? I don't know. Maybe he has everybody's attention. People are chattering away at the end of the meal. Everybody's talking. You have to give him a chance to catch up on all the gossip that they couldn't talk in the middle of eating. So it's bad enough that you got to pay attention to two brachas. You got to put down a cup of wine and then say bar mitzvah. It's too much to expect from the audience that they should all pay attention to so much. He wants to finish both quickly. I don't know. It's a good question. What does he do with the shemen that he has on his hand? He doesn't want to walk around with shemen. He's going to get his clothing all greasy. He's going to get the svarim all greasy. What does he do? So it says, V'tocho b'rosh hashamash. He smears the oil on his hand in order to wash off the grease, okay. And then he rubs it into the head of the waiter. He's happy. The waiter is very happy that he has a little commissaire. It's going to be fancy. What if the waiter is it's not right for Tam Chacham to have shemen on his hair? That's not proper. And he doesn't have any napkin to wipe the oil in. Has no choice. So he wipes it off on the wall. Okay. If the owner of the building is not upset about it. If someone else's house and he doesn't want you to wipe the hands on the wall, so you better not do it. Why should the Tamachach not do it? Then she denied the Tamachach and lots of Slashuk to Shehu Mavusam. is going to have this perfume on him, or the shemen in his hair is going to smell good, that's not proper. So then the Braisa, Tana Rabban, until the end of the Amud, tells you what's bekavadik and what's not bekavadik for Tamir Chacham. Tana Rabban, Shish Dvarim Ginai Lo the Tamir Chacham. There's six things that he shouldn't do. He has to have kavad haTorah. He has to act in a proper fashion. Everybody looks at the Tamir Chacham and they're going to do 10 madregas lower. So he has to serve as a role model for the community. The Gemara has every so often. The Gemara has Adam Chashav Shaini. Adam Chashav has to be machmar on certain things. Gemara has it by Bishalakum and by many other halachas. Adam Chashav has to be machmar. This is interesting. Shach and Yeruday and Hilchas Ribbis. He points out that the Yerushalmi never has that. Adam Chashav Shaini. He says it only appears in the Babli. But it appears in the Babli and it's quoted all the time in Shulchan Aruch. Adam Chashav has to serve as a dogma to the Bala Baptim. So he has to, as a role model. And everybody knows he's an Amichashev, so they're going to go a few madregas lower. Megillas Rus, it says that by Hira Baritz, there was a famine. What does it say there? Where is Megillas Rus? The end of Vayikra, no? End of Amikra. And the opening pasuk. One of the opening psukim in Megillah says, "Hayu meshvot asher mahi rab ha'aretz, ve'yachish mi beslech mihuda logu b'zdei moyav." Why? Why did he leave Eretz Yisrael? Not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. There was a rab. There was a famine. Then it says, "Who was the person? Elimelech and his wife is Nami Machn v'Kilian Ephrasim. Maze Ephrasim from Ephrat. So Ephrasim has another pshat anashim chashuvim." Rashi quotes. Anashim Ephrasim means Anashim Chashuvim. So the Gemara says in Baba Basra, strictly speaking, when there's a famine, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. But he was punished. Elimelech was punished because he was an Adam Chashuv Shaini. That says in Tarach, Adam Chashuv Shaini. Adam Chashuv has to be Machmed. The Rambam quotes that. The Rambam in the end of Hilchas Malachim, when he quotes that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but if there's, it can't make a parnasa. Or if there's a Shnaz Batzoris, there's nothing to eat, you're allowed to leave. Adam Choshev is not allowed to leave. And he says, Elimelech and his wife were punished. The children married non-Jews and they died and so on. All because he was an Adam Choshev, he was supposed to be Machmer. So the Babli has it in quite a few places. Adam Choshev Shiny, you have to be Machmer. So here also the Talmud Chochem has to be careful about six things, that there shouldn't be any Chashad on him and so on. So the first is, Al Yetzi Lashuk Kishuhum Wusam. He shouldn't walk out in the street with perfume on. Al-Yeti Yechid Ba'alad, he shouldn't walk by himself at night. Al-Yeti B'manolam Ha'mutubam, shouldn't have patches sewn over. He has a hole in his shoe, he's going to have it patched over. Al-Yisapar Misha Ba'ashuk, shouldn't carry on a conversation with a girl in the street. Al-Yeti B'chabur Shal Ami Ha'aretz, shouldn't eat together, B'haseb, shouldn't eat together with Ami Ha'aretz. Al-Yikonis B'achreina, L'beis HaMedrash, shouldn't come late to Seder, shouldn't come late to the Davin. Supposed to be, the rabbi is supposed to be the first one there. Yeshamer mandadar chumre, aflai apsia psia gasa. Why? Because the Gemara is going to say it's not healthy. Tamir chacham have to be careful about their weight, they shouldn't be overweight, and they should do things that are healthy, they have to exercise and so on. Val yahalach bekoim as a kufa. So now the Gemara is going to go through the whole list and explain one by one. Al yetik shumavusim la shuk, what's wrong? Zal di Gemara, am rabbi yechem amokim shecha shunam al shvik, al mishkav zocher. So the people who practice Mishkav Zachar will often put on perfume on their body. So Tam Chochem shouldn't do it, even though he doesn't practice Mishkav Zachar. But he should be above Hashat. No one should think that he is practicing that. Amar Abshesh Elam Maranela Bebigdoy. If he puts perfume on the Beged, then it's going to last. The smell is going to last. Avol Begufo, but we're going to put a little perfume on his body, some kind of lotion on his body, so you don't have to be concerned, it's not going to last too long, because they are ma'avale, the body perspires, there are pores, and there's oil that comes out from the body, so that's going to wash away the smell. So it's not going to last too long, so then it's permissible. Yeah, what about seor? What is going to put it in his hair? So the Gemara said before, v'tocha b'rosh ha'shamish, m'shamish tamachachim tocha b'koysel. We said before, the Brisa said before, you shouldn't smear the oil into the head, probably into the hair, Pashup Shah, into the hair of the Shamish, if the Shamish is a Tamachachim. So Pashup Shah and the Braisa, He's not putting it on his head, on his bald head. He's putting it on the guy's hair. So now the Gemara has two opinions. Is that true? Amar Papa Sari Kedigdoi Domi. The only time you say Zeya Ma'avrele, that the perspiration, the oil will come out through the pores and wash away the lotion, that's only if it's on the body. But if it's on the hair, then it won't wash away. Sari Kedigdoi Domi, that you're not allowed. But Amrila, on the other version, has it not so. That is Kegufa Domi, that it is permissible. But the simple reading of the Braisa before goes that you're going to rub the tocha be rosh hashamish. If it's tamachal, you don't do it. Poshim on the Braisa, the Sira is kibigda, that you're not allowed to. So the first one is because the mevusam is because of chashoda. They shouldn't think that he practices mishka zoch. Al yetzi yichid baladim shem chashoda. They're going to think that he's having an affair with some woman. What's he doing walking in the street in the middle of the night? So then the Gemara says that's only v'loy amar, and that's only the lo kvile yidin. He doesn't have his man kavua to attend the shiur. Abu Kvile Yidna, let's say, has his mankavo. He always goes, there's a Rebbe in town, he always gives a shiur between 11 and 12 at night. And everybody walks out of the shiur at 12 o'clock. The guy's walking home at 12 o'clock night. So no one's going to be choshed him that he's having an affair with any woman in the neighborhood. Made the idea that the Yidne Kozel, he's going to his mankavo, he's going to his Seder to learn. Then it says, you shouldn't walk, Tamachachm, you shouldn't walk, b'manolam ha-metoloim, if there are patches. So on to the shoes. Messiah Lady Rapriya, what is the Chochem? Shiyotz Manalam Hamtuloim is improper. Genayu. Genayu. So you're causing a bizoin atur. Then in more effect, Akasha, any, but you have some of one of the Amaroim, who is it? Somebody walked out with Nofik, who is a Rapriya Barabba, walked out with patches on his shoes, and for the Gemara, that's only Betlai Agabitrai. One patch is okay, but if you have a patch on top of the patch, then everybody had a patch on their shoes. That was a very common practice. But Tlal, Gabi Tlai, that was only the very poor people. That was that's like a slop. So Tamachof, it's societal. It depends. If it's not accepted in the society to wear shoes with patches, so you shouldn't wear the patches. If everybody walks around with patches, just Tlai, Gabi Tlai is a bizarre. So you shouldn't do whatever is considered a bizarre. Then Gemara adds on, v'lo amar nela b'pansa, if the tlai, if the patch is on the top part of the shoe. Abu Begild, if the patch is on the bottom of the shoe, it's not going to be visible, that's going to be the part of the shoe that touches the ground. Then leis lambo, then it's not a problem. Then the next line, many Rishonim don't have, v'lo amar nela b'yurcha, the only problem is if he's going to walk in the street, he's going to walk outside in public, Abu b'deisa, but if he's at home, he can wear whatever torn up shoes he wants to. In his own private home, that's not a designer term. And the other Rishonim don't have that girsa. What's the difference? But if b'deisa, if other people are going to visit him at home, what's the difference? Then the Gemara says also, v'lo amar nela b'moisa chama, in the summertime, the shoes are nice. Abu b'moisa chamim, the whole street is full of mud. So everybody walks around with dirty shoes. Everybody walks around with patched shoes. So then they slumber and then there's no problem. Fine. So whatever is acceptable in the society, the Talmud Chacham has to dress neatly. He can't dress like a slob. Aisapar Misha Bashuk, you shouldn't talk to women in the street. Amar Ches Afila Hiishto, even his own wife, you shouldn't talk in the street. Why is that so? Tanyan Amhechad is a Bryson that says like Amar Ches Afila Hiishto, Afila Hibito, Fili Achosa. Why? What's wrong? Many people will not know that this is his wife or this is his daughter. So that's why it's not permissible. The alumni of Chaim Berlin many years ago decided to put out a book, a collection of tshuvos written by Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin was the son of the Netziv. The Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin the last 39 years. Valozhin lasted for 90 years. The yeshiva was founded by Rav Chaim Valozhin, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, in 1802, and is closed by the Russian government in 1892, 90 years later. The Russian government kept on sending representatives, and they kept on insisting that they have to introduce secular education, and they kept more courses, and they had a lot of those medrash at night. No one understood what they wanted from the yeshiva. What were they bothering the yeshiva? Until after communism collapsed, then the Russian government made public all the secret files of the NKVD, so they finally found out what the secret was. What do they have against the yeshiva? There was always machlokes in the yeshiva. part of the machlokes was l'shem shemayim about whether they should introduce Musar or not. Valojin didn't have Musar. Slabotka had Musar, Valojin didn't have Musar. Rav Chaim was opposed, others were opposed. And then part of it was shalom l'shem shemayim. So some of the wise guy talmidim, they had Bialik was there, and they had all kinds of maskilim who were studying in Valojin, because they didn't accept them in universities, so they wanted some intellectual excitement, so they went to Valojin to learn a little bit. So some of them masa to the Russian government, they were angry at the yeshiva for different reasons, masa to the Russian government that it was a hotbed of revolutionary activity, and they should close down the yeshiva. So the government sent representatives. They didn't speak Yiddish, though. So they're trying to figure out what's going on. Where are the revolution? They didn't see any revolutionaries. So they kept on making zeris against the yeshiva. They have to introduce more secular studies. They wanted to close it down because they thought that there was some revolutionary activity. And then Lebesov, it was closed down. So the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva Balozhin the last 39 years. It's very surprising that he lasted so long. He was not a direct descendant of Rav Chaim Balozhin. He married a granddaughter. He married the youngest daughter of Rav Bitzel Ponevizhin, who was the son of Rav Chaim Balozhin. Rav Bitzel Balozhin, who was the son of Rav Chaim Balozhin. So the... So the Netziv had two wives. His first wife passed away, and then he married the Zibik Sheni. He married his niece. That was the sister of the Torah Tmima, the daughter of the Aruch HaShulchan. Mrs. Aruch HaShulchan was at Berlin. Her maiden name was Berlin. She was the sister of the Netziv. So whenever the Torah Tmima refers to his uncle, so he says, Dodi Gisi, my uncle, my brother-in-law. First he was his uncle, because he was the brother of his mother. And then when the first wife died, then he married his sister. There's a whole story about that she was married, and then she ran away from the husband, and she was hiding in the forest because it was against the law to run away from the husband. The police were looking for her. And then she ran back to her parents' home. And the parents said, what are you, crazy? What do you run away from the husband? So she said, he's an Amharic. He's not going to remain married to an Amharic. So what do you mean an Amharic? He sits over the Gemara, he learns all day long, doesn't learn. Doesn't know what he's talking about. He makes believe he's right, doesn't understand. So they said, he's not going to give you a get. You're going to be an aguna for the rest of your life. She said she'd rather remain an aguna than live with him. He said, Amar. She doesn't want to live with him. Then they said, even if he gives you a get, who's going to want to marry you? Then it was such a shameful thing to be divorced. Who's going to marry you? So she won't get married. So when the Nitziv's first wife passed away, so she said, he knows how to learn. She'll marry her uncle. He was something like 40 years older than her. So they got married. That was a Zivik Sheni. So from the first wife, he had a son, Rav Chaim Berlin. From the second wife, he had the son, Rav Meir Berlin. That was Rav Meir Bar Ilan. Meir Bar Ilan is one of the founders of YU. He was one of the founders of Mizrahi. And Rav Chaim Berlin was not at all Mizrahi. Totally different. Two brothers totally different from each other. So the alumni of Chaim Berlin, many years ago, decided they wanted to put out the yeshiva's name after Rav Chaim Berlin, the son of the Netziv and the first wife. They wanted to put out a collection of letters and tshuvas by him. So and then later on they got so many letters, so they put out one volume, and then they put out three volumes. They found so many letters. So one of the letters he talks about this did. So he recommends to his one of his talmidim in Russia. He was a rabbi in Russia before he moved to Chaim Berlin, before he moved there to Yisrael, the end of his life. So he recommends to his talmid that you shouldn't observe this din in the Gemara. You shouldn't talk to women in the street. He said, the people are going to, they laugh at us as it is. They laugh at Talmid HaChamim, that Talmid HaChamim are boors and they're stupid and this and that with it. He said, you have to talk to women in the street. Even if it's not your wife, you can't observe this thing. If you're going to make a Chil Hashem by not talking to the women, then you have no choice, you have to. But in the days of the Gemara, it was Farker, days of the Gemara, if you would talk to a woman who's not your wife, it would already be a scandal. And even if it is your wife, and I'll call the king because not everybody knows who's your wife and who's your daughter and who's your sister. So in the days of the Gemara, it was improper for Talmid Chacham to talk to any women in public. Yeah. Well, Yesu b'chabur shalam here, it's my time. What's the concern? The Muslim shuchav asrei. He may become nimshach after them. The Amihar, it's a talking silly thing. So you don't want him to become too friendly, so you shouldn't eat with Amihar. Why is Aikonis Hachman al-Beis HaMedrash? You shouldn't come late to the Beis HaMedrash. If he's late, let him not come. Let him stay at home. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It's preferable to daven in shul, even if you're going to, let's say you woke up late and you missed tefillah b'tzibur. So it says it's still preferable to daven in Beis HaKnesses. Yerusha Hashem b'hi motzo. Yerusha Hashem says b'hi motzo goes on the Beis HaMedrash. The Bavli says behimotzoa saris mei tshuva, that season of the year where he makes himself more accessible. And the Yerushalmi says behimotzo, the location, the Beis HaMedrash, the Beis HaKnesses, where he makes himself more readily accessible. So you should always daven in the Beis HaMedrash and the Beis HaKnesses, even if you daven in Bechidus. But if the rabbi woke up late, he's going to daven in shul, so he's going to make a chil Hashem, so it's better you should daven at home. Shouldn't come late. If he has to come late, better he shouldn't come to shul at all, shouldn't come to the Beis HaMedrash. The Gemara says, why? Shouldn't the Korah Le'Pasher? They're going to say the lazy rabbi. The rabbi doesn't, he doesn't try to come to Minyan on time. That's terrible. Yeshar mafalei apsia psia gasa. Why? Because that's unhealthy. Because psia gasa natel sechad mitak 1/500 mimor enim shalom. It's bad for your eyesight. And if a person does take psia gasa and he does lose his eyesight, my takante, what can he do to regain his eyesight? So the Gemara says, lehedri b'kedusha de beishimsha. He can restore the eyesight with the Kiddush of Ben Hashmashas. What do you do with the Kiddush? So Rashi says, Shoshosa kosho Kiddush v'shabbat, drink the wine. And others say, no, they used to take the wine and put it in their eyes. Many people put the Avdolah wine in their eyes. It's all based on this Gemara, because the Goenim had such a tradition. The Kiddush of the Avdalta the Beit Shimsha. We have the Kiddush, and other Girsas have the Kiddush of the Avdalta the Beit Shimsha, and you put it in your eyes. How is it going to help if you're going to drink it? How is that going to affect your eyes? So they had a tradition. You put it in your eyes. Okay. Well, Yehalach b'koyma zekufa, it's not proper to walk b'koyma zekufa. Why? The Amar Mar, we have a tradition. Yehalach b'koyma zekufa, fill it al ramas, even if we only walk, not day long. Even a little bit, ki ledechi krag lehashchina. Ichsir meloich aloritz. But a person should walk in a humble fashion. He shouldn't walk b'koyma zekufa. How does it say in the brachas haklodas in b'chukais, ha'vaylech ha'eschem koyma meyus, Rashi said b'koyma zekufa. It depends, klapi whom? Klapi nachrim, you should walk b'koma zekufa. If you're in a Jewish crowd, you don't walk b'koma zekufa, there's no need. We should be proud of the fact that we're Jewish. When we walk among goyim, should walk b'koma zekufa. But among Jews, you should walk b'tznias.
Why does the Gemara bring this in daf for Tam Chacham? I thought the Gemara, like,
Tam Chacham has to be more careful than others. Everybody's going to look at the Tam Chacham. They're going to see the Tam Chacham crosses the street when it's a red light. And he does all kinds of shtick when he drives his car. So they're going to say, if the rabbi does it, we can certainly do it. So the Adam Choshev has to be more makbid on his good health and on dressing properly and so on. But everyone should be makbid. Everyone should be makbid. Nachon? Okay. What is the next Mishnah? Next Mishnah has a din of Ikir and Tofel that we had a little bit before. Not really. If you're the fun of Maliach Tchila, Upasimo, Maliach means some salty herring. Called over Maliach, Rashi says. Let's say a salty herring. Upasimo, and he has bread with him. Why? Because the herring, he's really interested in eating the salty herring. And the pas is only tofel. Shapas tfeil alon. Ze a cloud, this is the rule. Kol shuik, vima tfeil, vroch alik, apoytas ha tfeil. Fine. Frek de Gemara, there is such a thing. The piece of bread is a tofel. In the days of the Gemara, they did like Europeans did. They ate the 8 slices of bread in the meal, a little bit of fish, a little bit of meat. The main course in the meal was the bread. So what are you telling me over here, that the bread is a tofel? And with the Gemara, yes. We're talking a special, unique case. Ginoiser is Kinneret. That's another name for Kinneret. So if you eat the pears near the Kinneret, they're so sweet. So the sweetness of the pears may annoy you. So you may want to have some salty herring after having the sweetness of the pears. So it's too sweet. And then after he has the salty herring, that may be a little too salty for him. And then he's going to want to eat the bread. So the bread is mamash a tofel. The herring is a tofel. And the bread after it is also a tofel. So the Mishnah says, he said a bracha on the herring, and he doesn't have to say a bracha on the bread. So the top taste has raised the issue, but the way the Gemara explains it, he should have said a bracha on the peris genos, a bar priho eats, probably fruits that grow on trees, probably, a bar priho adam or whatever. And then, that's the ikir, and then, after he eats that, then he shouldn't have to say a bracha on the salty herring, because that's a tofel, nor say a bracha on the bread. Why does the Mishnah present it that he says a bracha on the herring and he doesn't say a bracha on the bread. He shouldn't have to say a bracha on the herring either. The herring and the bread, everything should be a tofel to the peiros ginoy. So that's Tosis Kasha. So the top Tosis gives two terutz, but basically they say that it is correct. The Kasha is correct. If when he said the bracha, Barik Pihu Eitz on the peiros ginoy, sir, he knew in advance that that's what's going to develop. He's going to have a piece of herring to offset the extra sweetness of the fruits. Then he's going to have, he may have to have a slice of bread to offset the saltiness of the herring. So then everything is covered with the first bracha. We're talking over here, Taisa said, B'sho shachom peres genoisa, lo hayosham adayin maliach upas. He didn't have the other things. He didn't realize that he's going to be too sweet. He's going to want to have the davar maliach. That's one suggestion. Taisa has another suggestion, Mari shalocha bosa maimed. He had the peres genoisa next to the kinneret. And then he went home, and then later on, so there was a big pause in between, so he can't call out an ikar and a tofel. If he eats the ikar by the kinneret, then he goes home and he has the tofel at home, then he got to say a bracha on the tofel. So the Mishnah is talking about such a case. But then Achanami, if he's eating the peres genoiser, and he knows in advance that after eating this, he's going to have to offset it with a double tofel, namely to have a maliach, a herring, and then he's going to have to offset that by having bread, so the herring and the bread are both considered tofel. No bracha will be required. That's the answer. Bracha peres genoisa shanu. So then they're talking about peres genoisa. Peres genoisa grows that's near the kinneret. So Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Bar Bachana had smicha from Rabbi Yechanan. So he says a story. Omer Rabbi Bar Bachana ki havina azlin basrei Rabbi Yechanan. The Talmidim would walk with Rabbi Yechanan lemechol peres genoisa in order to eat these peres near the kinneret, gavina beimeya, when there would be 100 of us, mankatina le lechol chad v'chad asor asor, each one of us would grab 10 fruits, each one of us would grab 10, ki havina beasor, if we would only be 10 talmidim walking with Rabbi Yechanan, each one would grab 100 peres, mankatina le lechol chad v'chad meya meya, each talmid would take 100. Notice there's how many are there here? There's 100 times 10. 100 times 10 is what? 1,000. So there's 1,000 fruits in a par days. So when there would be 100 Talmidim walking with Rabbi Yechanan, each one would get 10 pears. If there'll be 10 Talmidim walking, each one would get 100 pears. They would make bare all the trees. They would take all the pears out of Shachmat day. They would eat 100 pears. Woo! You can get diarrhea. No, eating so many pears. And they ate everything. The chamei mina, how big were they? Chamei mina, you 100 peiros. Havi machzik luhu tzana batlosa savi. There would be a tzana, a basket that contained 3 so'ah. 3 so'ah is, I think, calculate. I think it's 144 beitzim. So 144 beitzim would a basket that contained 144 beitzim. 3 so'ah would hold 100 peres, called mea minai, 100 peres. That was every pri was the volume of an egg and a half, 144 beitzim in this. Either the girsa habi machzik luhu or loy habi machzik luhu. Two girsas in the Gemara, yes or no. And the same Gemara appears in Erev, and there it says loy habi machzik luhu. Okay, they were big peres in other words. And they would eat all the peres, v'ocha luhu, and after we would eat it, Mishtabi, we would spare the lot times a yuna. That we didn't taste anything. What do you mean, Zayuna Salka? What do you mean they didn't taste anything? They ate 100 peres. What do you mean they didn't taste? No. Eleima, they would swear, Mishtabi, they would swear that they didn't eat mezaina. It didn't fill them at all. They would just keep on eating one after the other. That wasn't filling. They enjoyed it. It tasted delicious. They enjoyed it. The Gemara tells different Amorim used to eat these peris genoisa. Rabbi Bo also lived in Eretzah. He would eat so many fruits until there would be so much oil in his body, the oil would be oozing out from the pores on his face. And if a fly would come on his forehead, the fly would melt. The fly would fall down because his face would be so wet from the oil that's coming out from inside of his body. Avisharek le'dudva, a zavuv, would slip down, me'afusei, on his forehead. Rabbi Rabasi would eat so much, the hair would fall out. In other words, they would eat so much peres, it would build up so much oil in their body, the hair would fall out. Shlokesh would eat so much, couldn't control himself. Ademarit, till he lost his mind, he went out of his mind. He became drunk. Apparently has some alcoholic content in it. And then when Reish Lakish would get drunk, V'amalu Rabbi Yechanan, L'debay Nisi, Rabbi Yechanan would contact the Rabbi Yudin Nisi, V'amim Mishad Alei, Rabbi Yudin Nisi, Balushe Abasrei, Rabbi Yudin Nisi would send a group of people to take Reish Lakish home. Ma'isilei L'debay Sei. They would have him taken because of his mama Shikr. He would go out of his mind. Ad-demarid, Rashi says, Daitami Tarefis. He would lose his mind from eating so many peris genais. And he wouldn't realize it. They would eat one after the other. It wasn't filling. And they didn't feel that anything having an effect on them till it was too late, till they became shikr from eating so much. Kiyosu Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he told the Chachmei Bavel, there used to be one city in Eretz Yisrael, Yerachas Oysa Lola, Yanei HaMelech, Vahar HaMelech, Shoyo Motzi, Mimeno, Shishim Ribos, but what did they do? And that city, they would take shishim ribo 600,000 svalim. Svalim are plates, trays, tris. Rashi says tris is tuna fish. Rashi writes tunina. He writes the same thing in there's a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah that you're not allowed to buy from a nochri tris trufa. Not allowed to buy chopped up tuna fish because maybe it's not tuna fish. Maybe they're mixed in dark tummy. They're mixed in a non-kosher fish. But otherwise, you see that tuna fish is a kosher fish. You see that tuna is a kosher fish. One of the rabbanim used to be in Frankfurt, what was his name? I forgot. Menachem Kirschenbaum. He used to be a rabbi. Not in the Breuer's Kehillah was ousted. They broke away from the regular Gemeinde. But the regular Gemeinde, they had an Orthodox rabbi, was Rabbi Kirschenbaum. So he wrote a collection of tshuvas called Menachem Nation. When they reprinted it in America, so Rav Moshe Feinstein gave a haskamah. He didn't know him. He writes, he heard that it was a big tamachach. Okay. He has very nice tshuvas. He has one tshuva about tuna fish. He says tuna fish is kosher. It's a kosher min, because it has snap of the kaskeses. And Rashi always says on the Gemara that tris trufa, you're not allowed to buy tris trufa from the goyim. Tris trufa means that it's chopped up. The fish is chopped up. And maybe they mixed in non-kosher fish. But tris itself is a tunina. Rashi says it's tuna fish. And the Beis Yosef and the Ramah both have in Yeridea the siman about fish. I think it's siman Pei Gimel. Or Pei Dalet, something like that.
Pei
Gimel. Pei Dalet.
Gimel.
Oh. So the Beis Yosef quotes a Tosis Rid on Maseches Avodah Zarah. Also, that tuna fish is kosher, and you can buy it from the goyim, and you don't have to be concerned that maybe they mixed in non-kosher fish, because we know they have a system, they only deal tuna fish. That's all they do. So the Beis Yosef quotes this Tosfos Rid, then the Ramah originally wrote a Darkei Moshe on the tour. He didn't have a Beis Yosef. So he wrote a long commentary, the Darkei Moshe Ha'aruch, on the tour. Then when he got a copy of the Beis Yosef, so he saw that he just repeated a lot of things that the Beis Yosef says. He was Mekatza, the Dark Emotion. So what we have on the tour is the Kitzur of the Dark Emotion. But when you get, they printed the Dark Emotion Ha'aruch, the longer version, so they both quote the Beis Yosef and the Dark Emotion Ha'aruch, they both quote the same Tosfos Rid. He says in Siman Pei Gimel, that the Tosfos Rid says you can buy tuna fish. He says tuna fish is a kosher min, and you can buy it even from the Goyim, if you know that that's all. When they go fishing, that's all they deal in is tuna fish. Right? The Nochrim don't have their manas. The Mishnah says, "Achasher al adavar." The Mishnah Bchoris, Dav Chav Tes, says, "Achasher al adavar." If a Jew doesn't keep kosher, so he's not neman on kosher. So if a woman doesn't keep taras hamishpacha, so she's not believed to say that the mikveh is kosher. If a person has a restaurant, let's say, and they themselves don't keep kosher, so they don't have their manas to say that this is kosher food. So a Nochri doesn't have to keep kosher. Nochrim are allowed to eat non-kosher food. So a Nochri doesn't have the manas to say that this is kosher food. But if we have an Umdin and we have a Ruben Elisa Kaman, we know that all they deal with is tuna fish. So then the Tosfos Rid, quoted by both the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe, they both quote the same Tosfos Rid. If we know by the nature of the business is such that they only deal with tuna fish, then there's no chashash. Then you don't need the manas of the Nochri. We know based on the Ruben Elisa Kaman, that's all they deal with is tuna fish.
You can take something else. You can recognize from the fish.
It's
very hard. After you cut off the skin, you can't recognize. After you remove, yeah, if you still have the skin, so you can see if it's not the kaskeses. But once you remove the skin, even the world's biggest experts can't really identify what the fish is. There are tens of thousands of different fish. It's not shach. Even the biggest ichthyologist in the world can't identify what the fish is. Yeah. There were different tainas about tuna fish. So one taina was that not all the tuna fish have snapa. We haven't checked. There are different kinds of tuna. We don't know if they all have snapa or kaskeses. It doesn't matter if they do or they don't. They don't sell all of them for human consumption. They only sell three kinds of tuna fish. They sell skipjack and yellowfin. What's the other one? Forgot already. You look on the kid. I forgot already what it's called. So the three that they sell for human, they have for dogs, for dog food and for other, for cats. They have other kinds of tuna fish. But for human beings, they only sell. These three, we know they have snapper because kesa. So some Rabbanim argued is that the Rambam has, he has four mitzvahs in a row in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and in the Mishneh Torah. A mitzvah livdak b'simani behem avachai, mitzvah livdak b'simani dogim, mitzvah livdak b'simani chagovim, mitzvah livdak b'simani oifos. Before you eat fish or grasshoppers or animals or fowl, you should be bodik b'simani to make sure that it's kosher. So since no Jewish person is there in the factory checking to see that they had, that the fish have snapa v'kaskeses, so you're not allowed to eat it because they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of the Rama, mitzvah livdak b'simani. So the Pashto says that that's a joke, because the Minkacha has an Adaki Chiva on Yeridea, on that Sima, Sima Pegimel. He says, some of the fish, Rashi Anchumash quotes from the Gemara in Masechus HaBadizar, that a fish that had kaskeses and it lost the scales, when I go fishing, by the time I pull the fish out of the water, it already lost the scales a week ago. Or if there's a fish that only develops the scales later, and I grab it, I take it out of the river, I take it out before it developed the scales. So the Gemara says that it's mutter. Even though right now when I catch it, it doesn't have any scales. How are you going to be biting b'simonim? It doesn't have any scales. It would, if you would have left it in the water another 2 months, it would have developed scales. So the answer, so the Darkei Tshiva poses the question. So he says the only time you have to be biting b'simonim is if you don't know what the nature of the fish is. But I know this is a tuna fish. I know what the min is. I know that this min has snapped the kaskeses. So even though it lost the kaskeses, or even though it didn't yet develop the kaskeses, but if I know this min is kosher, so you don't have to check, there's no mitzvah either. Let's say when the shechet shechts chickens, he knows it's a hen, he knows it's a chicken. So he has to check to see if it has the Mishnah and Chulin, and then the Ve'elu Treifas lists off all the four simonim. How do you know? The Chumash doesn't say. But the Mishnah tells you, what are the simanim to know when any given bird is a kosher bird or not? So you have to check by the toes and check if it would stand on a wire. When the bird stands on a wire, does it separate its two toes on one side of the wire, the two toes on the other side of the wire? Does it separate the toes or not? So the sheikh who checks the chickens has them stand on a wire. He doesn't check. He knows it's a chicken. He knows a chicken is kosher and farpe. Let's say the sheikh is shechting cows. So he has to look down on the ground to see if it has split hooves. My friend says, Parsa, he sees it's a cow. He knows a cow is kosher. So the only time you have a mitzvah, that's with the munkach. The munkach is always machman and everything. So he says over here, there's no mitzvah of b'dikas siman, unless you know what, you don't know what the min is, but you know what the min is. There's no mitzvah of b'dikas siman. Others have a taina that they catch kosher fish with the non-kosher fish together. And they put them all in together in the boat until they come to the dry land, so there's going to be a bleah of the non-kosher fish into the kosher fish. The fact is not so. They know, the fishermen know, that the factory is not going to pay them any money for any other fish other than the tuna fish. They only want tuna fish. So they eat the non-kosher fish that they catch, or they throw them back into the ocean. They're not going to have it sit there, because it's a waste of their time. What are they catching? Not only non-kosher fish, even other kosher fish. The factory is not going to buy. They only want these kind of tuna fish.
The
anyway.
And it's a lot?
What?
The plea of it's a lot?
No.
Plea, we mean
they're dead already. But they have them sitting on top of each other. That is a discussion. Is the Rabliya when an animal is alive? In Shulchan Aruch, the Pesachei Tshuva has a story. Someone was cooking butter in a pot, and then there was a hen jumping around in the kitchen. So the hen jumped one leg into the butter that was cooking in the pot, and then it got burnt, and then the hen jumped out. So the shaila was, does it make basa b'cholim? It was burning hot butter. So do you say that it made a bliya? It was yatzalet. Does it make a bliya from the live leg of the chicken that jumped in? So there's the Pesachei Tshuva song that it doesn't make a bliya. There's a whole discussion in the latest one. The Stipel in the Sefer Chulin has a whole essay about whether there's a bliya from a live. Sometimes a woman by mistake sticks her finger into the soup that's cooking, and the soup is yatzalet, so she's going to yank her finger out. So the Rambam's opinion is that Psara Adam is also with an Iser Esei. So does it make Tam Kiker? Does it make Tam Kiker? She's alive. Do you say there's an Asinas Tam from a living person or not? So that's a pilpul in latest form. Okay. So what does he say? There was a city in Eretz Yisrael. Kiyosa Rabdimi. Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. So he told the Chachmei Babel, once upon a time, Irach is Hoysel of the Yari HaMelech. Yari HaMelech was a long time before. Yan HaMelech was the end of the period of the Chashmonaim. Behar HaMelech, Shoyim Atzim HaMena Shishim Ribos Tfolim, every Friday, Le'erev Shabbos, they would pluck off the Te'enim. There would be so many people plucking, there would be so many Te'enim, and so many people plucking Te'enim, they had to have 600,000 plates of tuna fish for lunch for the people plucking the fruits from the trees. In other words, there's 600,000 people plucking Te'enim from the trees. Shishim Ribos people. Unless somebody had a double portion. Okay. So there were 300,000 people. Okay. It's an awful lot of people. The Erev Shabbos. Every Friday, they would be plucking off things. Kiyosu Robin, when Robin came from Eretz, told another story. Ilan, Echad, Hoyalon, Yana Hamel, Bar Hamelch had a tree. Shoyim Arida B'mena, Arboim saw Gozolos. The birds would give birth. The female birds would give birth a few times a year. So they would take tons and tons of young chicks. Aboim so'o gozolos are the young chicks. Misholosh brechet pachodesh. Three times every month they would give birth. The Gemara just saying that near the Kinneret, the fruit was delicious, extremely sweet, and it was a ton of fruit. People would eat 100. And the Te'enim would grow unbelievably. They had 600,000 people plucking off all the Te'enim. The Erev Shabbos, the Erev Shabbos. And they had birds, but also grow. Birds would also, everything was a big bracha in Eretz Yisrael. Kiyosu Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Rabbi Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael. He also told over a story. Irach HaSaisa Be'eretz Yisrael, V'guf Nishma Shaibo, they were... It's unusual. You have two brothers married to two sisters. Is that permissible? What's wrong? Two brothers married to two sisters. So Tosfos in Yevamos has an attack against Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid writes in Sefer Hasidim, it's not proper for two brothers to marry two sisters, because that's Mevatel Mitzvos Yevamin. What do you mean Mevatel Mitzvos Yevamin? If one of the brothers will die, leaving no children, so then he won't. The surviving brother will neither do yibum nor chalitza on the almana, because she's achos ishtoi. If you have two brothers married to two sisters, so it's not proper for two brothers to marry two sisters. That's called mevatel mitzvahs yibamis. So Tosfos makes fun of it. All the mishnayos and yibamis goes like that. Shneach mishayim nesuim shtei achoyes. The mishnayos talk about two brothers married to two sisters. The mashgiach and the miri yeshiva. The last years. First, the Mashgiach was Rabbi Ruchim, and then it was Rabbi Chatzkel. Some of the Talmidim call it that was the Bais Rish, and that was the Bais Sheni. That towards the last few years of the Mir Yeshiva, so Rabbi Chatzkel Levenstein. He later in his life he was in part of his Yeshiva, Bnei Brak. So he had two daughters who were married to two brothers. One was Rabbi Mottl Ginsberg, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Brooklyn in the Mir Yeshiva, and the one who lived in Bnei Brak was Rabbi Reuven Ginsberg, his brother. And they married the two daughters of the Mashgiach. Every so often you have two brothers married to two sisters. So the Gemara tells when Rabbi Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael, he told them there was one city in Eretz Yisrael, the Kohanim are Makbid, they should marry girls who are Miyuchosos. So the Kohanim were Makbid, they should marry girls who are Kohanos, who are Beros Kohanim. So there were 80 marriages, 80 cases where there were two brothers married to two sisters and all were kohanim. The 80 sets of brothers who are kohanim married to 80 sets of sisters who are benos kohanim. That was unusual. In that city, there was a lot of kohanim there, and they were makbed on the yichlis to have to davke marry a bas kohen. Do you have such a thing anywhere else? Well, you have two brothers married to two sisters. The Gemara says, in the days of the Gemara, there was only one case. Now it's more common than that. Ubat karabana misura vad nardo, and bubble, they were checking, is there such a thing? Two brothers married to the Ashkachu. They didn't find such a setup, except for Bar, Bansei de Rav Chizda, the daughters of Rav Chizda, to have a nisivam, the Rami Bacham, the Maruk, the Bachama. There were two sisters married to two brothers. The two sisters were Benos Kohanim. Rav Chizda was a Kohen. So his two daughters were Benos Kohanim, but the boys that they married, the two brothers they married, were not Kohanim. So that's as close as they came to this. In Eretz Yisrael, there was a city where they had 80 sets of brothers married to 80 sets of sisters, and all of them were Kohanim. The Avraham, the Inhi, Haba Kahansesh, they, female, the daughters of Rav Chizda were Kohanos, or the Inhu, the husbands, Lo Haba Kahanim, the husbands were not Kohanim. But that's as close as they got to what they had in Eretz Yisrael. There until they had 80 sets of brothers married to 80 sets of sisters that were Kohanim. Fine. Okay. That has nothing to do with the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael. The Shevach of Eretz Yisrael is that the Peres are so sweet, and there's so many Peres and a ton of Peres, and you have to have 600,000 people taking down the Peres and so on. And then the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael, so that they grow the gozlos, they reproduce so much. But then once they're talking about the cities of Eretz Yisrael, they mention about this unusual city where they had a lot of Kohanim in it. Once they're talking about eating food, so they say, about eating moliach, is it healthy, is it not healthy to have salt? So in the days of the Gemara, they say, Omer, Av kol suda shein ba melech, ein suda. It's not healthy. For health reasons, you have to eat salt. Then the next one says, Omer, all kol kvats Rabbi Yochanan. What does he go to Rabbi Yochanan? Kol suda shein ba sorof, ein suda. Whatever. In the days of the Gemara, the Tanoim and Amram used to follow the doctors of their generation. And we should follow the doctors of our generation. He mentioned the other day, he mentioned that Chassam Sofer has a comment on the Rambam. The Gemara says in one place that if you have fish that's cooked together with meat, it's a sakana. It's not healthy to eat it, you may develop tzaras. And the Rambam doesn't quote that Gemara. So the Chassam Sofer says the Rambam was a doctor, and he knew medicine of his generation. The medicine in the days of the Rambam said that there's nothing wrong with fish cooked with meat. So the Rambam left out that Gemara. The Rambam did like in the days of the Gemara. They followed the doctors of their generation. We should follow the doctors of our generation. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes in that tshuva, that the Jewish Chachamim were not doctors. They relied on the Goyish doctors of their generation. Somebody wrote a sefer recently that anything in medicine that it says in the Gemara was Allah Moshe Messina. Anyone who says otherwise is an apikoris. So the Chassam Sofer apparently was an apikoris, because he says that they didn't have any halacha Moshe Messina. Says they followed the doctors of their generation. He says the Rambam held that it's not so. So the Rambam didn't quote all the medical advice of the Gemara. Fine. Okay. So what's the upshot of the din over here? An ikar and a tofel. And sometimes even bread can be a tofel. Okay. Good. That we know. Okay. What's the next Mishnah? Ochal anov matenu v'rimayinim. He eats from the shibas aminim. But he didn't have bread. So there's a big machlekes hatanim. Bevarach achrayim shalosh brachos de Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel's opinion is that you have to have the whole three brachos, the whole birchas hamazon, after all of the shivas aminim. So that's what Tosis raised the question earlier. Where was in Adaf Lamentes? I mean, according to Rabbi Gamliel, there doesn't exist the bracha of alamichiv alakalkola. Or aloeitz or prihoitz. There is no such bracha. It doesn't exist. How can it be? He just crossed out. He ripped out a page from the siddur. So the Taisa says, no. It means if he ate it bikvias, if your whole meal is anovim teinim rimoinim and it's filling, chalta v'savata v'erachta. So then you recite birchas hamazon, not only on bread and any of the shivas aminim. But if you just have a couple of grapes as a snack, then he also agrees. You don't eat it b'derech shel kvias. Rabbi Gamliel also agrees that there is a bracha of ala eitz, al pihoitz, al amichiv, al akalkola. Fine. Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. The Chachamim, I remember they disagree with Bracha Achz Mein Shalosh. You only say Al Reitz Val Piyoris. Okay, Rabbi Akiva, I'm afilo ochal shelek. Even if you eat cooked vegetables, shlokas, umizonov, that fills you up. And varachol of gimel brachos. Rabbi Akiva holds, you don't have to have dafke bread in order to recite Birchas Hamazon. If you find that filling, even if it's not from the Shivas Aminim, Rabbi Amiel said only if it's from the Shivas Aminim, then you have to bench Birchas Hamazon if it fills you. And Rabbi Akiva says, even if you cooked vegetables and it's filling, and that fills you up. So needless to say, we don't pass on like Rabbi Akiva, and we don't pass on like Rabbi Gamliel either. We pass on like the Chachamim Amrim. Then you say, Bracha Achaz Mein Shalosh. What bracha do you say when you drink water? What does it mean, litzamai? So the Gemara says, only if you're drinking the water, litzamai. Rapukimai, here, the last line of Mem Dalet on the base. Last line. Hashosimayim litzama, Rapukimai. What does it say litzama? He's thirsty. Gemara says, Amar Avidi Barovin, Rapukimai, the chanke say umtsa. What does the main chanke say umtsa? So there are two pshatim in the Rishonim here. Chanke say umtsa, the guy's choking. He's going to say a bracha. He can drop dead before he swallows the. He has to drink something quickly. He shouldn't choke to death. And the other pshat, and the accepted pshat, is not chankas ayuntz, it's chankas, so what's the chiddush? So, b'koch nefesh deicha, kol atar kula. So what's the chiddush that you should drink the water without saying a bracha? A double pasha like that. So the other rishonim say no. Taisa explains, if you're drinking orange juice, apple juice to swallow down a pill, or you have something stuck in your throat and you want to wash it down, you're not choking to death. You want to wash it down. You're not really interested in the orange juice, the apple juice, but it's a orange juice, tomato juice, apple juice, then you have to say a bracha on it. But if you're only drinking water, and water doesn't have any flavor, water has no nutrition in it, it has no calories, and just want to wash down a pill, want to swallow down a pill or something is stuck in your throat, then no bracha is required at all on water. Especially not on water. Only if shosamayim litzamayim. And you only say a bracha achrena also. You only say a bracha achrona after you finish drinking. We say shahakol before you drink it. We say bar nefesh is after. We'll have to see the Gemara. See, the Mishnah has hashas mayim litzama. If you're thirsty, they say shahakol niyibidvara. So we had the Tosis before. Tosis said to recite a bracha rishayna, you don't need a minimum shir. You don't need a revias. You don't need a kazayas. To say a bracha achrona, Tosis says called the tikkun rabbanu kein deraisa tikkun. Just like on the level of the deraisa. It says, Eretz Shalevim Miskenes Tachal Balechem Ve'achalta Ve'savoto Ve'erachto. You have to eat Achila, Kazayis, and it has to be Kedei Sviya. Let's say a person gets satiated by eating less than a Kazayis. He ate Kedei Sviya, older people, they don't have to eat so much, and he eats less than a Kazayis. Then you don't bench Birchas Hamazon. You have to have Ve'achalta, at least a Kazayis, and Ve'savoto, he should be full from that. So that's on the level of the rice, that's when you get Birchas Hamazon, Bracha Achrena, Birchas Hamazon after eating bread. Eretz Shalev Miskenes Tachal Balechem, if you ate bread, V'achalta V'savata, need a kazayis, and it should be G'day Svim. So Tosis said before, called the Tikkun Rabbanu Kein Deraisa Tikkun, they instituted a Bracha Achrena on water, and on wine, and on all foods, fish and meat, and whatever you eat, you say Bracha Achrena. So just like on the level of the rice, you have to have a minimum shear. V'achalta means a kazai. So too, on the level of the Rabbanim, to recite a bracha achrena, you need a shear. So just like for other mashkin, you need a revias, a beitza matzah. So the different opinions how much you have to drink. Tosus sheet in a few places is maloy lugmov, and we don't follow Tosus. Maloy lugmov is a rov revias by Rav Beinu. We follow the Rama. The Rama says, in order to say bracha achrena, you have to drink a revias. So the Poskim quote in the name of the Vilna Goyen, that sometimes a person is very thirsty and he takes a cup of water, he takes one little sip, less than a revias, he's already not thirsty. But then he doesn't want the water to spill on the table. He's afraid the water is going to spill, so he drinks out the whole cup of water. But the rest of the water, he wasn't shosamayim litzamayim. He wasn't really thirsty. He drank the water. I have no place to pour it out. He's afraid it's going to spill on the table, on the carpet, on the svarit, whatever. So that's not. It was only shosamayim litzama less than a revius. They didn't drink all revius litzamai. Then you don't say bar nefosh sefta. That's a common occurrence that people drink a sip. They're thirsty. They take a sip of water, and then they're not thirsty already. But they just drink the rest of the water because it's there on the table. But they're not really thirsty. So then you don't say bracha chani. You don't say bar nefosh.
Suppose you have to drink the water because you're supposed to be hydrated. You're not thirsty at all.
He's drinking water in order not to become dehydrated.
Yeah, but you're not thirsty. In fact, you don't like it.
Yeah, I think you don't say a bracha. I think you only say the bracha if it's lushosa, it's someone. If he's drinking garment juice or apple juice, even not with some of water, you only say if he's stuck here, it's someone. I think so.
Let's say if a person is swallowing a pill and taking water to swallow the pill, and he's thirsty, but he wouldn't have drank otherwise if he wasn't taking the pill.
I think you do say a bracha. I think he is thirsty also. But a lot of times you drink less than Ervius. You can swallow the pill with less than Ervius. So then you don't say a bracha achrona less than Ervius. So then what motivates him to drink the rest of the water? If he drinks the rest, not really, because if he's not he's not thirsty anymore, then it's not mitzaref to the Ervius. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. So the Gemara is going to explain the two shitas. Rabbi Akiva's shita, they're not going to explain. Afilu Shelek, they're not going to explain. But they're going to explain Machlokes Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says, we didn't finish the Mishnah. Shosamayim litzam, a person drinks water because of the thirst, and Rosh HaKol Nebidvarai, that's the bracha Rishayna. What's the bracha Achrayna? So in the days of the Tanaim, there was no bracha Achrayna on water. Bracha Achrayna on water, Bar Nefoshes came in later. Tarfon disagrees with the Tanakama. He says, Bar Nefoshes, Rabbis V'chasrayna is the bracha Rishayna when you're drinking water. There was no bracha Achrayna in the days of the Tanaim. The Gemara is going to spell that out. So the Gemara says, my time at the Rabbi Gamliel. How does Rabbi Gamliel come off to say that if you ever eat any of the Zion Minim, Boifen Shol Kviyas, that you have to say Gimel Brachas? Where is the Mokar? Because that's what it says in the Chumash. Eretz Chita Sarah Gefen Ete Eretz Eishem Eretz Shalom Miskenes Tachal Balach Mechalta V'Savata V'Erachta V'Sar Shem V'Kecha. So it goes on all the Shivas Aminim that were mentioned previously in the Psukim. V'Rabbanon, so how do the Rabbanon disagree? Why do they say it only goes on bread? Because Eretz Hipsik Linyat. It says three times. Eretz Chita Sarah Gefen Ete Eretz Eishem Eretz Eretz Shalom Miskenes Tachal Balach. So the third time that it says Eretz, it says only goes back on lechem. You won't eat bread with his scarcity. I told there's a lot of bread. Bread tastes delicious, better than American bread. Yeah. So that's what the Rabbanon hold. Eretz hipsikoinian. Eretz shalom miskenes tochal balechem. Mechalta v'savata only goes back on the lechem. Fregmav Reb Gamliel Nami. Shouldn't I say Eretz hipsikoinian? It starts a new union. Everything more, it is correct. Eretz is hipsik union with respect to the following. If you're eating chitim, if you take chitim wheat and you grind it up and you make flour and then you make spaghetti out of it, then he says you say birchas hamazon after the spaghetti. But if you just kaisas as achita, you didn't grind up the chita to make flour out of it. You didn't make a cake or cookies or bread or anything, just eating chitin the way they are. Let's say you cooked chitin and they didn't blend in to be one big mush. The kernels of grain are softer, so they're edible. So then even Rabbi Gamliel would agree that you don't say gimel bracha. Then you say, so what bracha do you say? What bracha achrona do you say? So that's what Tosfos before had, the suffix. But you say bar nefoshes. Or you don't say ala michiv, ala kalkola, but you say maybe say ala ha'adoma, ala pri ha'adoma. Because if the kaisis is achito, then you say bar pri ha'adoma. So Tosfos had a suffix, whether the bracha achrona is bar nefashas or it's ala ha'adoma, ala pri ha'adoma. So they recommended you shouldn't eat granola bars. That's basically granola bars. Shouldn't eat granola bars unless the beter chasuda. No. The minig America is not so. We eat granola bars and we say bar pri ha'adoma. You don't say mezonos on it because they didn't grind up the oats. They have kernels of oats there. And the ikar is the granola. Granola means the kernels of the oats. They have a little corn syrup that holds it together, but that's not the ikar. The ikar is really, that's what granola means. Granola means the oats. The people eat it because of the granola. So the bracha is bar pri hadama. So that, even Rabbi Gamliel would agree. Rabbi Gamliel, I'm Eretz Yitzchak Inyan, everything more. Yes, it's limutu akosis sachito. So then you don't say gimel brachas. What bracha achrona do you say? So that's a sofik and tesis. So they say bar nefashas. That's a general practice today. You say bar nefashas. You have to give it all the bar. Well, now you say al adom al pri hadom. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yanki. I read you. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Kol shem mechameshes aminim betchidim bracha barim menizan. Bezal bracha achas bein shalosh. We know that. Kol shehu mechameshes aminim. The Gemara had before the beginning of the prayer kol sheyesh bo. Not kol shehu mecha. Kol shehu mechameshes aminim sounds like that. That's more than 50% of the food is from mechameshes aminim. We pass from kol sheyesh bo mechameshes minidon. Kol sheyesh bo means even if it's less than 50%, we always declare that the, let's say you're having soup with a lot of stringy spaghetti in it. So even though the spaghetti is less than 50% of the whole soup, but spaghetti is from the Hamishas Mini Dogan, so you say Bari Mini Mizoinis, and you don't say a bracha on the soup. That's Kol Sheyeshbo. He didn't say it. He says Kol Shehu Mechameshas Aminim. Yeah. What if you have Kol Sheyeshbo Mechameshas Aminim? So the Hamishas Mini Dogan is considered the Iker, even though it's less than 50%, but you say bracha achrona ala michya. So that the Mishnah Berurah said, you only say bracha achrona ala michya if you actually had a kazayis of the chameshes mini dogan. If you had other stuff, if the chameshes mini dogan is only 15% of the food, or 25% of the food, and you only had two kazayisim of the food, so you didn't have a whole kazayis. You didn't have a whole kazayis of dogan. Let's say you have carrot puffs. So the carrot puffs has ground up carrots in it and it has flour in it. And the carrot puff has two kazaisim in it. But you have to find out what percentage is carrot and what percentage is flour. For the bracha rishon you say mezainis, fine. But for the bracha achrona you only say lamichi if you ate a full kazayis of the dogan. Okay, but the Besoy Parach Achaz Bein Sholosh. So the Gemara says, what is the Nusach? Amalei Abai L'Rav Dimi, Mai Nihu, Baruch Achaz Bein Sholosh. What's the text of the Bracha? How do you say the Bracha? Amalei say, he answers, Apri Ha'etz, if you had figs or dates or pomegranates, you say, Al Ha'etz, Val Peri Ha'etz, Val Tenuvas, Al Salah, Re'etz, Chem, Detoy, Baruchava, we have more of an echo. We have that added. The Gemara doesn't have it. Balatanya doesn't have it either. In his city, he doesn't have the two words. Why? Because the Magen Avraham quotes a kasha from the Bach. The Gemara in the end of the first perek in Soita has Agadita. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu offer over 500 tefillos? Medrash says on Vayeschana he offered so many tefillos he wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael. Why did he want so much? He wanted to swim in the Kinneret. He wanted to eat all the delicious fruit that bears Genoisa. What did he want so much? Gemara says no. That's not a proper motivation. You want to go to Eretz Yisrael in order to enjoy Olam Hazeh. Lechem Mipiri, that's not a proper motivation. Ella, he wanted to fulfill the mitzvahs of Tluyas Bar. Moshe Rabbeinu loved doing mitzvahs. There's certain mitzvahs that if you live in Chutz, you just can't fulfill. So he offered all those tefillos in order to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. So the Bach raises the question, but when we say Alamich, we say, Menochem Mipiri, Amenizma, Mitu, and the Rechem Chalav, the Dusha of the Torah. So why do we say v'nechal mipiriyah? V'aleinu l'sarichov v'samchein v'nyonah v'nechal mipiriyah is v'amituvah. That's what the Gemara said, that's not a proper motivation why you should want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the simple answer is, we're plain human beings. We enjoy Olam Hazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Yisho Lekim. He was a holy angel. He was very angelic. And it doesn't make sense that he would offer so many tefillahs just in order to lechal mipiriyah with his b'amituvah. But there's nothing wrong with having such a motivation. But the Balatanya leaves it out. Balatanya doesn't have the Nusach. Lechem Nidbirya with his Bayamay Tuvah. Doesn't have. I remember once one of the Rebbe's from the Yeshiva came to my home. He was trying to convince me. Rabbi Grella came to my home. He was trying to convince my father that he should send me to learn an Eretz Yisrael in Brisk. So he wanted to say a Dvar Torah from Rav Elbel Soloveitchik that Rav Beryl, the son of Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, said all in the name of his father. So he wanted to say on this that Rav Elbel said, what do you say, V'nechom Nipir V'nez Bamituba? He said, because to say, V'nei Yerushalayim Yerah Kodesh M'her V'yemeinu, rebuild Yerushalayim, V'nechom Nipir Yoshal Yerushalayim, V'nechom Nipir Bamituba, Shal Yerushalayim, means Ma'is Hushein and Kachim Kavim. Doesn't mean to sit and eat Peres Genoisa. That's the Pinman is Saba Moshe Rabbeinu in the Kodesh La'oretz Lechem Piri with his Bami Tuva of Eretz Yisrael. That's not a valid reason. But over here, he say Vnei Yerushalayim and Lechem Piri Yoshal Yerushalayim and his Bami Tuva. That refers to Ma'aseh Sheni and Kochim Kavim that have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Gerelik didn't remember Ala Michya Bahatza. Yes, my father, give me a siddur, give me a siddur. So the first siddur, my father grabbed those with the Balatanya siddur. So he looks in the siddur, the whole shtickle Torah disappeared. He doesn't have the, he said, give me a normal siddur. Give me a normal siddur. So the normal siddur has it. And Rav Elbel suggested maybe that's what it means. But in the Gemara, it doesn't have. Nechom Nipiriyah and Nizban Mitur. Ki atot ha'le meitu v'lakol. So that's the nusach of Al-Aitz, Al-Piho-Aitz. If you eat figs or dates or pomegranates, fine. Olives, okay. What's the nusach of the bracha achreina if you had cake and cookies? The chameshes haminim, chameshes haminim don't have cake and cookies. What's the nusach? He said al hamichya ve'al hakakol v'atinu v'sasod etc. Uchasim al ha'oretz ve'al hamichya. Shai. Al ha'oretz ve'al hamichya. Now the Gemara raises the question: mechtam b'mai chosim. How are you supposed to say the chasima? You say, "Bino delecho al ha'oretz v'al hamichya," and then you say, "What Baruch Ato Hashem al ha'oretz v'al hamichya." So that's what the Gemara is asking. How do you conclude? "Bino delecho al ha'oretz v'al hamichya." Then you say, "Baruch Ato Hashem." How do you go baita? Nechta b'may chosim. How do you conclude Baruch Ato Hashem at the end? So what's the issue? So the way we have the girsa and the Gemara, the Vilna Gaon crosses out the whole line. But the way we have the girsa and the Gemara, Gemara is raising an issue from later, from Daf Mem Tes, about Eichos Mim Mishnayim. We learned it the other day. We were speaking about the Yontem Shecholi is B'Shabbos. This year Pesach is going to fall out. Thursday Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So we're discussing the Nusach and the Shemana Esri is Baruch Atah Hashem B'Kadesh HaShabbos the Yisrael LaHazmanim. So the Gemara has a din Ein Oisim Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. That's over here Mem Tes Amid Aleph, right before the wide lines, and it says on the side Soita Dav Ches, that's where the main sugi is, Soita Dav Ches, Amir Aleph. And one example of Enoisa Mitzvah's Chavilus, Chavilus is Ein Chos Min Mishnayim. So he gave the marshal, the person came in late to shul, and he wants to catch up with the tzibur, so he doesn't want to spend so much time saying the 15 Bichos HaShachar, so he says, B'kitza, Baruch Ato Hashem, L'Kein Malach Ha'olam, and those in the Sechmin have Chayim and Veilad, the Bishalos Sani Gleit, Bishalos Sani Yavli, Bishalos Sani Isha, Upekeh Achivrim, Mal Bisharumim, he puts everything in one bracha. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do it, in Chayis Min Mishnayim. And the Magen Avraham says, you know, if you did it, you're not Yotze all the 15 brachas, you're only Yotze the first thing that you said. Those in the Sechmin have Chayim and Veilad, but Yotze that, and all the 14 you have to say over again. So the Gemara says there's a rule, in Chayis Min Mishnayim. You're not allowed to have two chasimas to one Shema Malchus. Chutz mizu, except if it's Yontem Shechavias B'Shabbos, then you say in Kiddush and the Shemoneh Esrei, you say in Kadesh HaShabbos, the Yisrael, the Hazmanim, or this Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. So in Musaf you say, Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael, V'Rosh Chodeshim. So the Gemara says, why is it different? So the Gemara says, Chutz mizu, this is the exception to the rule. So we spoke about it, that if you look on the Mefarshim on the side of the Riv, so there's a Machlokes Rishonim, why is this an exception to the rule? So here the Gemara is alluding to that. Mechta Memai Chosim, how do you conclude Baruch Ato Hashem? How do you end off? Al Ha'oretz Al HaMichyo, how do you end off? Ki also Rav Dimi, Amar Rav, when Rav Dimi came to Meretz Yisrael, so he said over to the Chachmi Bobo the following, Rav Chosim Kiyos Rav Dimi Omer, Rav Dimi came, he said the following, Rav Chosim B'Rosh Chodesh, Baruch Mekadosh Yisrael, V'Roshei Chodoshim. that it's not a violation of Ein Chosmin Mishnayim. Even though it's really unrelated, Mekadesh Yisrael, the Jewish people, Roshei Chodoshim, so one is a Kedushas people and one is a Kedushas Mat. So it's not a violation. Why is it not a violation? So the Gemara says, why? Because Mekadesh Yisrael, the Mekadesh Yisrael, the Roshei Chodosh. That's the Gemara in Arvei Psochim. There is a Machloikas there in Arvei Psochim. What's the Chasimus Abrocha Nishman Esrei on Shabbos? They say Mekadesh HaShabbos, or they say Mekadesh Yisrael the HaShabbos. So we say Mekadesh HaShabbos. We only say Mekadesh Yisrael the HaZmanim and Mekadesh Yisrael the Roshei Chodoshim and Yavim Teifim and Ramanosh Chodesh, because HaKadosh Baruch has Mekadesh the Jewish people, and they in turn are Mekadesh the Roshei Chodoshim and Yavim Teifim by declaring Rosh Chodesh, by saying when Mekudesh Mekudesh. But on Shabbos it's Kvi V'kayma M'sheshes Me'bereshes. So we don't say Mekadesh Yisrael V'HaShabbos. So what does the Nusach mean? It's not too unrelated. It's not a violation of Ein Chosmin Mishnayim. Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Hazmani means Mekadesh Yisrael V'Roshei Chodoshim, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekadesh the Jewish people. We in turn are Mekadesh the Roshei Chodoshim. So the Shaila is Hochamai. Can you say the Chasima? Noigel L'cho, how do you say it? We will thank you. That's not the chasima. But when you get Baruch Atah Hashem, is it proper to say that Baruch Atah Hashem al ha'oretz v'al ha'michya, or is that a violation of Ein Chosmin Mishnayim? On Rosh Chodesh, Rav said, Rav Chosim Rosh Chodesh Mekadesh Yisrael Rosh Chodoshim. Because it's not a violation of Chos Mishnayim, because HaKadosh Baruch is Mekadosh Yisrael. Rashi writes, Avagav the Damya Vatarti. It looks like Ein Chos Mishnayim, but it really isn't. Because it's Mekadosh the Jewish people, and they in turn are Mekadosh the Rosh Chodoshim. So the Shal is Hochamai. Is it the same thing? Al Ha'oretz v'al Ha'michya. Baruch Atah Hashem, we praise you for giving us Eretz Yisrael, which gives forth Michya. Or are we really saying two different things? Hachamai, what's over here? Would it be a violation of Ein Chosmin Mishnayim if we say both? So, it's okay. Just like over there, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Rosh Chodesh means Hashem is Mekadesh the Jewish people, and they in turn are Mekadesh the Zman, and they in turn are Mekadesh the Rosh Chodesh. So, to over here, Al Ha'aretz v'Al Amichyo v'Al Ha'aretz v'Al Peresehu means I could thank you for giving Eretz Yisrael, which gives forth the parents. So it's not a violation of Ein Chosmin Mishnayim. Fine, that was the answer. But now the Gemara has two versions of what is the Nusach. So it's a machlekes Rav Chisda and Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan lived in Eretz, Rav Chisda lived in Bavel. So it's strange. The Gemara says, Rav Chisda says you should say Al Ha'aretz V'Al Peiroi Seho. Rav Yechanan says Al Ha'aretz V'Yal Ha'Peiros. So it seems like it's a machlekes. Amram v'loy pligi, there's no machlekes. Hold on, v'holuhu. If you live in Eretz Yisrael and you're eating peres that grew in Eretz Yisrael, or you live in Bavel and they sent peres from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, now it's very common. You sell Israeli wines in America. So you don't sell Ha'aretz Al Pi Hagaf, and you sell Ha'aretz Al Pi Gafno if you have Israeli wines. In the days of the Gemara, it's not shock. What, they're going to send peres from Eretz Yisrael to America? It'll rot till it reaches America. Today, it arrives the next day. They send it by plane. In the days of the Gemara, there was no such thing. So he says, if you live in Eretz Yisrael and you're eating peres that grew in Eretz Yisrael, you say, but if you live in Bavel and you're eating peres that grew in Bavel, truly from the Shivas Aminim, but you can't say, you just say, Ha'aretz v'al ha'peres. The Shivas Aminim peres have a Hashivas. But what you just said doesn't make sense. Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chisda lived in Bavel. So what's Rav Chisda saying? Aloretz v'al peres. Rav Yechanan says Aloretz v'al peres. Everything is backwards. Everything is kaka. Maskar nach mayitzchak inu achli. The people in Eretz Yisrael are the ones who eat the peres Eretz Yisrael, and we say va'anan b'varchim, and we say the bracha aloretz v'al peres. They should say in Eretz Yisrael. They should say aloretz, and we should say aloretz v'al peres. El nizak demar epach. You have to reverse the girsa. Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, so his Talmidim ate peres that grew in Eretz Yisrael. So they say Al Ha'aretz V'Al Peres Seho. And we who live in Bavel, we say Al Ha'aretz V'Al Ha'Peres. So we assume the same is true regarding wine. that if you drink wine that's made from grapes, that the Gruma Neretzel say, Halaretz al pi gafno. And the Shaila is, what about cookies? What if you have cake or cookies? They have a lot of osim mezainas that they sell in America. So do you say, Halaretz al mich yoso? If you eat in Eretz Yisrael or in America, if you eat the cake or cookies that was made with Israeli flour. So that's a machlokes of Rishonim. Most of the Rishonim seem to say that you do say, Halaretz al mich yoso. The only thing is that now you can never tell where the flour came from. A lot of the flour in Eretz Yisrael is exported from America. They ship the surplus from America, they sell it to Eretz Yisrael. And a lot of the bagels in New York are made from Israeli flour, because bagels have to have a certain texture to it, so you have to have a certain type of flour. So bagels, I think, they often use flour from Eretz Yisrael. Bagels are bichas hamazon anyway, you're not going to say Halaretz al hamichya. But Israeli cakes and cookies, the minig is that they don't say Halaretz al hamichya, because very often it's made from American flour. That's why not. But in principle, really, the Rav HaRishonim say, you should say Halaretz al hamichya if you're eating cake or cookies that was made from Israeli flour.
Where does Hakkola come in? That's something you should say. Yeah.
Whether he got it from the beginning, how does the Gemara say, what's the nusach? Ala michi v'ala kalkola. In the beginning of the bracha, it's a bracha, ala michi v'ala kalkola b'atnuvas ha'sodim. So the question is, does it make sense to repeat it at the end? No devacha al horetz v'ala michi v'ala kalkola, b'rocha toshem ala ala michi v'ala kalkola. Oh no, you just say it the first time. So the common practice is you only say the first time. You don't say each time. Yeah, here Tosis, we already discussed this. Here, Tosfos al hoetz or prehoetz. Tosfos has the shaila. What if you drank wine? What's the nusach of the bracha achreina? What's the issue? Because in the beginning of the perek, the very first daf in the perek, there was a machlokes of Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. What was it? Lamed Vav and Aleph, I think. Machlokes Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, no. The mashkim, orange juice, apple juice, is it considered a pre, or is it zeh b'yalma? So that's machlokes Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Where was that? Lamed Chesed ben Aleph. Oh, that's right. And we quoted Mishnayos from Chumash, Perek Yud Aleph. So we paskan like Rabbi Yeshua. Whenever there's machlokes Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Lezer Shamutehu, he was from the Beis Shammai. So we rarely pass him like him. So we pass him like Rabbi Yeshua, who makes a compromise. Mashkem ayetzman azesim and anovim have the din of the pri. So you can bring the kurim. When you bring the kurim to the hinei hinesis, yeshus pri ha'doma benasata li Hashem. So when you bring the dikurim only from the shivas aminim, you can bring wine or olive oil. That's considered a pri. Even though it's in the liquid form, mashkem ayetzman azesim and anovim is din of kipri. And the Mishnah says, on all fruits that grow on the tree, we should say bar pi yoetz, except for wine. Why is wine an exception to bar pi yoetz? Why would you have said bar pi yoetz? So that's the answer, because we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, amashkem ayetz min azeis min anovim is considered the liquid form of the pri. So you really, if you have shem and zayis, the Gemara says, you really say bar pi yoetz. The Gemara says, but it's not normal to drink a bottle of Shem and Zayis. Hazuki mazikle. Gemara says, Aydea nigron. If he has a sore throat and he has a whole concoction and he pours in extra Shem and Zayis, then you talk to say Bari Pigwaits. And if you have wine, the bracha should have been Bari Pigwaits, but it's an exception to the rule. That's how the Mishnah reads. On all fruits that grow from the tree, you say Bari Pigwaits, except for wine. It should have been Bari Pigwaits. But it has a super extra special, super duper extra special bracha. Instead of bar peretz, you say bar piagofen. So that's how we pass on like Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Lezer. Lezer holds that mashkem ayotzim from all the fruits is dina kipri, and we pass on only by zeis madom. So Tosfos here has the suffix. When you're drinking wine, so the Mishnah says the bracha should have been bar peretz, but they changed it because wine is something very special. It's sameach and soyed. It's filling. So therefore, they were masakan a special bracha, bar piagofen. So that's for the bracha Rishon. What about for bracha Achreina? So the Gemara doesn't say. The Tosis is not sure. So what should the bracha achrayna be? Should you say al ha'etz v'al pri ha'etz, because it's a liquid form of the pri, or should you say just like the bracha rishayna, they made it a special super bracha of bar pri agafen instead of bar pri ha'etz, and maybe the bracha achrayna instead of being al ha'etz v'al pri ha'etz should really be al ha'gefen v'al pri ha'gefen. So that's what Tosis is not sure, and then Tosis writes, "Aval alayah bebrachem ala gefen val pia gefen." Came in the Yankavir bracha liatzmo mishum chavibuse for bracha rishayna. So Tosis, who adin for the bracha achrayna as well. Uva chasima, what bracha do you say at the end? So yeshechos memal oretz ala peres, because it really should have been bar pia oretz in the first place, but it has a special bracha. So maspik if he said the bracha rishayna bar pia gefen. And you started off the bracha al gefen bal pi gefen. You don't have to end off al ha'etz al gefen. It's good if you end off al ha'etz al peres. Yesh chayes memal gefen bal pi gefen. That's the common practice. You end off al ha'etz bal pi gefen, not al gefen. It's al ha'etz al pi gefen. So that's Tosin's discussion. Yeah. So in Shulchan Aruch they have a sofek, we spoke already. Shulchan Aruch they have a mechaber quotes a sofek, how much wine do you have to drink in order to say bracha achrayna? Is it a kazayis or is it a revius? So Pasha Pshat usually assume that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting a sofek that's relevant to water and to apple juice and to orange juice. How much of a liquid do you have to drink to say bracha achrayna? So Tosis writes a few times, they got the shir from Yom Kippur, shir is malalugma, and the Shulchan Aruch writes a suffix on all beverages, where the shir is kazayis or revius. So Lechik thought otherwise. He thought, no, the suffix in the Shulchan Aruch is only on wine. And the suffix was whether the bracha achrayna on wine, it's like Tosis' suffix, but the bracha achrayna on wine is betoras wine, in which case it should be a revius, or the bracha achrayna wine is betoras, it's a liquid form of the pri. That's what Rabbi Yeshua said. The mashkama yetzman azesman anovim is dina kipri, and if it's dina kipri, then the shir should be kazayit. So he thought the suffix of the Shulchan Aruch is only on wine, maybe olive oil. Okay, maybe olive oil. Also, whether the bracha achrayin is betoras pri, in which case it should be kazayit. So the bracha achrayin is betoras beverage, in which case it should be revius. That's basically the suffix of the Tosis regarding the nusach of the bracha achrayna. Do you say al ha'oretz v'al ha'peres, or do you change it al ha'oretz v'al pi gafna, al ha'oretz v'al pi ha'gafna? Then Tosis raises a new shaila. The Gemara Mem Amud Aleph, where the Gemara quoted the pasuk from Tehillim, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. You only offer brachas in the daytime, you don't offer brachas at night. Why does the pasuk say Baruch Hashem Yom Yom? The Gemara says, you should mention that today is Rosh Chodesh and today is Yontif and today is Shabbos. That's me. Ein Hamor. You should mention what the day is. So Tosis has a shiloh. You mentioned Ein Hamor and Nishmana Esrei. Say Yalav Yavai. If it's a Yontif, you say a Shabbos Dik and Nishmana Esrei. And then in the Birchas Hamazon, you say Ritzei or Yalav Yavah. What about Alamichya? Do you mention Shabbos and Yom Tov and Alamichya? So Tosis has a machlokes with the Rambam. Interesting. Very rare that Tosis quotes the Rambam. So Tosis says, say for Amayman and Matzach, they're quoting the Rambam, he requires Matzach l'askebo me'ein hamar b'Shabbos v'Yom Tov. Chimashma b'Yerushalmi. The Rambam is based on Yerushalmi. They said the meaning is that you don't say. The meaning by us is that we do say. Everybody says. When you say Alamich, you mention Shabbos, you mention Yontif. The only thing that by us is Machlek is when he mentioned Chanukah and Purim. So that the meaning is that you don't. You don't mention Manish Tana. How come you only mention Chanukah and Purim and the Bichas Hamazon and Alamich? You only mention Shabbos, Yontif. You don't mention Chanukah and Purim. What's that compromise all about? So they give different explanations. Chacham Avadya has all children, he quotes different explanations. Rav Soloveitchik liked one of the explanations that he quotes from some of the Rishayim, that Alamichya is called Meisholosh. It's the abridged form. Meisholosh means like an Ein Shmona Esrei. If a person is not healthy, he's not up to it. So he says, Havinenu. He says, the Gimel Rishon is Gimel Achrayinus, and the 13 brachas in the middle, he abridges. That's called the Ein Shmona Esrei. So the Ein Sholosh is the abridged form of the Birchas HaMazon. So, of course, they abridge everything, the Kitzer. So there's a basic difference between Ritzei and Yalav Yavai and Allah Nisim. Ritzei is a paragraph that you insert. Yalav Yavai can't come and say Yalav is a paragraph. Allah Nisim is just an Arichas Dvarim. You say, in the Shmon Esvoy, they say, Moedim Anach Naloch, Achayin Amtsu Medech, when the Shmon Esvoy, Rab Kulach, Lam Tzach, Shepuchay Yaman, and if Lasech, Tav Esach, Shepuchalais, Ever Bek Vitzah, Rayim, V'yala Nisim, V'yala Purkam, V'yala Gwurs, it's with Avav, V'yala Nisim. It's not a new paragraph that you say. It's a comma. You put the a comma in between Anisech Shebuchayim and Vesecho Tavesecho V'amanisim Avapurken. It's an Arichas Dvarim. You're Marich. So Me'ein Sholosh is supposed to be the abridged form of Birchas HaMazon. So since the whole status of V'yal Anisim is an Arichas Dvarim, so when you say Me'ein Sholosh, you're abridging, so you leave it out. But Shabbos Yontav is not an Arichas Dvarim. Shabbos Yontav, you insert a whole new paragraph, it say, so if you're going to say the abridged form of the mention, okay, so abridge the mention of Shabbos and Yontav, but you can't leave it out completely. But Al Anisim, the whole thing in the first place of Vi Al Anisim is an Arichas Dvar. So if you're abridging, so you leave out the whole thing in Gans. Yeah, but Tosis holds you don't even mention Shabbos and Yontav. They're saying against the Rambam. He says the Maimonides says you have to mention Shabbos and Yontav, and it says in Yerushalmi Lechei Mashmi Yerushalmi, the meaning is that on Shabbos and Yontav, they don't mention Shabbos and Yontav. Then Tosis raises the shayla at the end. The person had wine, and then he had olives, and he had cookies. So does he have to say three brachas achrayinus? Three different. Has to say ala michid, then he has to say ala weitz or pirate, then he has to say ala gefen or pirate gefen. So they quote the Rabbeinu Chananel, no, you can combine all three together. Ay, isn't it a violation? Vein chaismin bishtayim. Benoide lecho al ha'oretz v'al ha'michyo v'al ha'peres v'al pi ha'gofen. Baruch ato shem al ha'oretz v'al ha'michyo v'al ha'peres v'al pi ha'gofen. That's ein chaismin bisholosh. So the Tosis says, no, why is it not a violation? Ein chaismin bishtayim. Why is it not a violation by when you say Mekadesh Yisrael Beroshei Chodoshim? Because HaKadosh Baruch is Mekadesh the Jewish people, and we in turn are Mekadesh Rosh Chodoshim. So we're not saying Mekadesh HaShabbos and he's Mekadesh Rosh Chodoshim. He's Mekadesh the Jewish people, and we in turn are Mekadesh the Rosh Chodoshim. See here also, Al Ha'oretz Shemotziya Baruch Atah Shem Al Ha'oretz, we thank you for giving us the land which gives forth the Michya, the Peris, and the Pri HaGofen. So it's just like it's not a violation when you say Alorotz v'ala peiris, Alorotz v'ala michi, because the bracha really is that he gave us the land which gives forth all the peiris. So you need to say all three together. That's not a violation. Yeah. The Gemara continues on the top of Amud Beis. How often do you say Bar Nefashos at the end? So the Mishnah doesn't have Bar Nefashos as a bracha. If you had in the beginning of the Perek, it says Achra V'loy Klum. No bracha is said at all. So the Vilna Gaon explained what it means V'loy Klum. In the days of the Tanoim, when the Braisa was written, there was no bracha Achrayim. This was introduced in the days of the Amoraim. Om Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Mishum Rabbeinu, probably Rav. Who's Rabbeinu? Probably Rav. Al Habeya, on eggs, Val Mini Kupra, Kupra's flesh, the Tchidim of Rach Shakol, will absorb Bar Nefashos HaBzam Mini, you say Bar Nefashos as a Brach HaChreinu. Al Val Yarka Lo, but if you eat vegetables, there is no Brach HaChreinu. Yitzchak Amar, even vegetables for the Yarka. Al Val Maya Lo, if you only drink water, then there is no Brach HaChreinu. A Papa disagrees, Afilu Maya, even if you're drinking water, you say Bar Nefashos as a Brach HaChreinu. That didn't exist in the days of the Tana. Rav Tarfon says that's the bracha rishona when you drink water. Shosamayim letzamai. So the Mishnah quotes from Tarfon Amar Bar Nefashos Rabbis is the bracha rishona, not the bracha achrayna. So we have adopted that, and again the bracha achrayna. This is a historical problem. What do you mean? They were inventing their own brachas over the generations. They invented new brachas. The Kaddish Shimcha Barabim they added on. I listen. Leisen vayosh koyach was added on later, it doesn't appear in the Gemara. So this is all a problem. The Rosh in the first Perek and Ksubas raises the issue. The Goyanim composed that Nusach HaBroche, when a person first gets married, and there's Dam Besulim, and he's excited, he sees that his wife has Dam Besulim, so they have a whole Nusach HaBroche composed. Rosh says it's not right, because the Gemara says, Anshik Nesach Dola was a body of 120 Chachomim, Behem Kamenevim, and they're the ones that composed all the Brachas of Bekamiyeh, like after the Anshik Nesach Dola, period of history. Also, the Tapa Bishrocha Shalmakam, you're not allowed to compose your own Brachas, because Mimal Gros Hashem Ashmi Kalti Lasa. Who is Roy to compose a Bracha? Mishiochal Ashmi Kalti Lasa, one who knows with Sechel what to say. So we assume we don't know what to say. So I come over here, they're all landing on Brachas. It's very strange. The Amorai mad on a whole bunch of Brachas, then somehow it became frozen later. It's very strange. There's a Gemara in the last Perik in Psochem, and the Gemara tells, one of the Amoraim came to a village and they asked him, he should say on Shabbos morning, Kiddush HaRabbah. So where he came from, they only said Kiddush on Shabbos morning, was Bar Pi HaGofen. But they said Kiddush HaRabbah, the big Kiddush. So he didn't know what it meant. So he said he felt that he'll play it by ear. He'll say Bar Pi HaGofen. The Kiddush always begins Bar Pi HaGofen. And if they'll ask me to say whatever they'll tell me to say, so I'll say Vaita. So he said Bar Pi HaGofen, and then he saw there was an old man who started bending over to drink some of the wine that was in front of him. So he realized that's it. That the Kiddush HaRabba means it's a Loshon Sagi Noh. The long Kiddush means the short Kiddush. Kiddush HaRabba means all he said is Bar Pi HaGofen. But you see, Fingamar, he is prepared to say whatever bracha they would tell him to say. But he knew that there never was a Takanas HaShem Knes HaGadavah to say such a bracha. That's what Moshe Feinstein says. You see from the Gemara that if the meaning amokim is that they say a certain bracha, even though you don't have that meaning, let's say Baruch Hashem Li'olam. So many people don't say Baruch Hashem Li'olam. So if the fellow is the Shliach Tzibah, he davens for an omen and an inyan where everybody's saying Baruch Hashem Li'olam, he should say it also. It's bracha. You see from the Gemara like that, that the Amora, I think Rav Ashi, he's prepared to say whatever they would tell him to say, because that's the meaning amokim. So you see that the minig amokim can add on brachas. What's going on? How does that work? That's a big problem. So the Gemara says, we follow our puppet, that we say barnefashis even after water. That's how the Gemara says. Okay. Tomorrow, we got to take a vote, democratic vote, whether we should go vaita, want to make a siyum, be able to eat flesh on Shabbos. So take a vote, whether you want to learn parsha, you want to learn... Gemara.